Welcome to Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio, where we explore the people, stories, and events in our seven-county listening area in central Iowa. I am your host for today, Susan Franzen, and I'm fortunate that Gina McAndrews will be accompanying me on a road trip to Jewell. I'll also bring in Jan Gammon of Prairie Rivers RC&D, Resource Conservation and Development, to tell us about the Lincoln Highway Heritage Byway. We'll close out the show by playing songs from Roland native Delon Thompson, who yearned to leave home and find success and freedom using his talents. I discovered him thanks to a feature article by Todd Thorson in the Story City Herald, Living in Tucson, where he has surprisingly achieved his goal. It's time to start on the road trip to Jewell, and here's Gina to pick me up. Hi, Gina. I'd like to ask you to go up 69 instead of taking Highway 35. Because before the interstate was built, Highway 69 was the main route to Minnesota from this part of Iowa, and Jewell was on that road. So this is the nostalgia route for me. It also dramatizes how changes in transportation affected the town. Until July 1954, 63 years ago, it had railroad passenger service. I know there's a bike path on that old railroad bed, so I'm curious to hear how that developed. Since we're on 69, we passed the vegetable market at the Story City exit, and that is really a choice place.
Yes, it sure looked like they had quite a variety of items already, and there's a few horses sitting there at the sale barn.
Oh, we're at Little Wall Lake already. Well, we spent many a happy weekend out here when we first came to Ames. That's before Sailorville or Big Creek Lake were built, and we learned to sail out here. One of the things I noticed from the map was that there are three cabins built by the Hamilton County Conservation Commission. They're log cabins. They look like they're beautiful cabins. I can see one. Now I see the three. Big campground. Lots of trailers there using the power from the solar array. That's pretty impressive. Well, our first stop in Jewell will be at the Historical Society, where we'll meet the local Jewell historian, Dick Steffen. Hello, Dick. I'm pleased to meet you. Of course, history is an important part of the legacy of any town, anywhere. But one of the things that has impressed me about the towns that I have encountered in our listening area, which is Story County, Boone County, Hamilton County, and to a lesser extent Greene County, is how aware people are of their history. And I have learned that you are the designated local historian of Jewell.
Yes, that's correct. That's right.
And so you worked on the 125th?
Yes, that was the quasicentennial. And yes, I wrote a good portion of that book. And the idea was to provide a more of a pictorial look as an update to our centennial book that was done in 1981. So it was a look at Jewell and mainly a visual look at Jewell over those 125 years.
And during that period, I understand that Jade had been working to restore many of the storefronts on Main Street.
Absolutely. They've been very, very influential. For a person driving through a small town, I think they'll be impressed with Main Street in Jewell. And it largely is due to Jade and the leaders of Jade, absolutely.
And how did that get started?
Well, it was an effort to make sure that Jewell didn't, let's say, disappear in the shadows that so many small towns do. We have a good portion of our population that work in Ames. Some work in Webster City. We don't have a huge draw right here in town. The largest employer is probably South Hamilton Community Schools. the next is probably the ethanol plant, Apoa Ethanol at the North Edge of town. But to bring a look of being alive to Main Street, and they've been Jade has been very, very successful in doing that.
And to what do you attribute that success?
The leaders of the group.
We'll be talking with one of the leaders of Jade in a few minutes, but we're standing by the newly acquired Jewel Historical Society building, a country church that moved to town a couple of years after the railroad passenger service ended. I don't think there was a connection. It just indicates when population patterns were shifting.
And this building belonged to the North St. Petrie Lutheran Church, which was 2 miles east of Randall and 1 mile north. And it was built in 1893. So what you're sitting in, this church was built up above the basement part. This is 1893.
Wow.
And it was moved here and put on this foundation in 1956. At that time, then it became part of this Lutheran Brethren congregation. We're just in the planning stages of organizing the Historical Society. And we just had a meeting yesterday to get structure for the organization. And that's what the organization is going to be called, is the Jewel Historical Society. But this will be the Jewel Historical Museum. And our intent right now is most of the displays will be up here. Downstairs, there's an area for an office. There's a kitchen area. There are two bathrooms down there. And as you can see, there are some church pews that are left in here. And we think that's a good idea because we need to remember this was a church. And so those pews, our intent is, at least right now on June 15th, would be to have those pews horizontally in the middle, and that blank wall would serve as a screen for programs. And then the displays would be arranged around the room, either chronologically or by subject, and some of the displays would be more or less permanent, some would be changing. But our intent right now is to remember it was a church, but then to arrange it so that we can have our displays.
Well, of course, maybe this isn't unique to Jewel, but the town had a city historian before they had a historical society. Is that right?
Yes. I've been kind of known as the unofficial historian for, 10, 15, well, more than that now. But there wasn't anybody doing it. And I'm a former history teacher, government teacher, and what really tripped my interest in it was my wife and I came out of church in, I believe it was 1983, and we wondered what the fire trucks were doing. Well, they were burning down the depot. And I've been a rail fan my entire life, and that's what really tripped my interest on this historical background of ours is slipping away. We better try to do something about it. And so beginning then until I wrote the quasicentennial book about Jewel in 2006, at least I did most of it. But in those intervening years, that's when I was gathering material and doing research and things like that. But I think it's important to have links to our past, to understand just who you are and where you're at today. You need some kind of a connection with where you've been. Of course, the community is really different than when my wife and I moved here in 1964 because it was full of Johnsons and Thompsons and Sorensons and Nelsons, and if you said one thing about a Nelson, you insulted everybody else. And of course, the population makeup is different, but I think really the town is as large as it's ever been, and I think we've been very fortunate because if you look at our downtown, there's really one building that is still in need of either being removed or fixed up. But Jade and Jade Foundation have done a great job of maintaining businesses on Main Street. And right now, in fact, there's a new bank going in.
Before we went downtown to meet the president of Jade, Dick offered to take us out to the new bike path so we could see the bridges he was talking about. Gina got a picture of the Double Arch Railroad Bridge. You can see it if you go to our website, khoifm.org. We talked a little about the new bike path.
Right.
And this may tie into why Jewell Junction was built in 1880, which is relatively late for a lot of these towns.
Well, it's and you mentioned Jewell Junction, and that still is the official name of the town. They've never taken Junction off of that. So at City Hall, it's officially Jewell Junction. And at the time, it was a crossroads of two lines of the Chicago Northwestern Railroad. And it's along one of those branches that this new bike trail has been completed. So it's nice to see that there's when people pedal or walk that trail to Ellsworth, and it's called the Jewell Ellsworth Bike Trail. And if you go online and look at Jewell Ellsworth, that's all one word, .com, there's some great images there. Plus, someone had a drone that flew over part of the route, and it gives a good look at what the route looks like. And one of the connections there that is really, really neat, I think, is that there's a twin stone arch bridge that the railroad still uses that's right next to the trail. I tried to pin that down on when it's been built, and there was a person who specializes in trying to identify old bridges, railroad bridges. I thought it was maybe 1900. He thinks it might have been built when the railroad came, which was 1880. But it's a really neat twin stone arch bridge, and right beside it is a new bridge that was built for the trail, and you can stand on the trail bridge and look at the stone arch bridge, and it's a neat, neat addition to our towns.
Thank you, Dick. This is KHOI Community Radio. Gina McAndrews and I, Susan Franson, have been talking with Dick Steffen, local historian of Jewell. And now to meet Melissa Rothler, the president of JADE at the Jewell Public Library. They have a large meeting room in the back where we won't be disturbed. This library is small but inviting, and our meeting room has a map and child-friendly murals on the walls. Melissa had told me that she moved to Jewell because of the amenities, so I started our conversation by asking her about that.
My name is Melissa Rattler. I came to Jewell about 20 years ago and fell in love with the town just because of the amenities and the people and the school district. And actually, there were a lot of opportunities to start my own business. So I started my own business on Main Street, and that's when I became familiar with JADE. JADE helps support businesses, get them started, keep them going, and provide some of the infrastructure and building renovations for a new business to be able to come in and start up. And so through the years, I've worked with JADE, and the longtime president had decided that his tenure was over and wanted to retire to the lake. And so the opportunity to be president arose, and I got voted in to do that. So I've been doing that. This is my second year now.
Could you tell those of who don't live here what JADE is?
Well, JADE stands for Jewell Area Development Enterprises. And really, what we do and our focus is to support our businesses. We're a Main Street, Iowa community, and that is in partnership with Hamilton Hometowns. JADE also offers, we have some grants available, and we just try to hold events and try to do any kind of things that will help support our businesses. So it changes over the years. There's been things such as building renovations. There's been computer training, Facebook training, all kinds of different aspects. Just whatever the businesses need, we're there to help support them.
You said you came here in part because of the amenities. What amenities did Jewell have in 1997?
A lot of the amenities that we looked at was the library, a local hardware store, medical facilities, pharmacy, grocery store. I mean, it's just the perfect small town living, and you can walk and get to anything that you really need on a daily basis anywhere in town.
What has been changed in the last 20 years?
Well, everything keeps getting updated. We've had additional buildings. We have a very strong retail sector here on Main Street in Jewell. The school continues to improve. There's been some huge renovations and expansions at both the elementary and the middle school and high school. There's also, we have a great fire department that's been a huge addition a few years back. And it's just interesting to see the change in people more than anything. And just the changing culture up here is always fun.
How would you describe that?
The changing culture? Just the way that, you know, there's been a huge movement for small town America again, and farmers markets, and shopping local, and just seeing that change in people from wanting to find places local and searching that out, and searching out sole proprietors for restaurants and any type of their retail things versus going to a big box in a big city.
Gina, do you have some questions?
So what kind of business do you have, and how did you decide to start that kind of business up here?
Well, it was actually a transitional business. I started with a clothing consignment store here in town, and it was a labor of love. I loved doing it. We had no intentions of ever making money. We just wanted to kind of break even and serve the community. An opportunity arose that I could purchase an existing business that has some screen printing, and we thought that would tie in pretty good, and maybe that would be something that could help me increase the revenue just a little bit to help support what I really wanted to do in the consignment store. And once we started in on that, we realized the potential that could be there with the screen printing. And so then we've added embroidery and heat press. And unfortunately, we just weren't able to keep the consignment part going. So we had to close that down. But I've been doing screen printing and embroidery now for almost 4 years. And I can't even tell you how many times over we have grown in the 4 years that we've been doing it. It's just been phenomenal. We have great local support. We have a lot of support through the school district, through our churches, our business community. And, you know, I honestly don't think I could ever dream of opening a business anywhere else than in Jewell, Iowa. It's just been phenomenal.
So your customers are mostly here? You don't sell at fairs or online or anything like that?
Nope. Most everything is here. I have a couple of retail locations that I sell spirit wear. So here in town, in Jewell, I sell South Hamilton, pre-printed South Hamilton apparel at the farm store. I have the same type of setup down in Story City for Roland Story Norseman at the pharmacy down there. But yeah, all of my business is local. Now it's been growing because of word of mouth, but I would say, you know, maybe a 60-mile radius would be about it. I don't do any internet sales or anything along those lines.
What do you see as the future for Jade? And so what are your goals for the next 5 years while you're president?
What a great question. So when the last president was finishing up, we had just a couple of small projects still going as far as building renovations. And so the vision for Jade and the contribution to Jewell going forward was really to tap into our retailers and get tourism and really get people coming to Jewell just overall across the board, whether it be our events, Jewell Jubilee, just shopping weekends, whatever the case, and also strengthening some of our businesses with their social media usage and just trying to just basic advertising, commercials, radio, all that sort of thing. We have since decided to take on another big building renovation. So some of that has kind of stepped back just a little bit, but it's just, like I said before, with Jade, we just try to do everything we can to support our business. So we just kind of see where that need is. And right now that need was to renovate a derelict building. So that'll open up additional retail space or business space for hopefully at least two more businesses in the near future.
Do you have people already lined up that want to open businesses in those?
We don't currently have people lined up, but we do get calls weekly for businesses that are in the area that are looking, or people that are looking to come to the area for businesses. So we work with Hamilton Hometowns, and usually they'll be the ones to get the call, and so they'll get a tour. Most everybody wants to come to Jewell. We just don't have the space for them right now, so we're working on it.
What's Hamilton Hometowns?
Hamilton Hometowns is a collaboration board that oversees, and that's how, what our Main Street Iowa accreditation is through. It's a collaborative effort through Ellsworth, Jewell, and Stratford. And we all just kind of work together and try to do things. But there's a director, and she provides resources and services for us.
And what kind of businesses do they get calls from that want to come to this area?
We have gotten calls for candle makers, cheese makers, retail stores, with the new bike trail, there's been some interest with bike repair shops, you name it. It's there was a yarn merchant that was wanting to come into town at one point. They were going to be the largest yarn supplier in Iowa. We just didn't have the space for them. it's a lot of fun to see all kinds of different types of businesses wanting to come through.
Is there any future plans to take the bike trail on to, for example, Stratford, where you have a partnership already?
Well, I don't know about that. I know they have talked about going south to the lake, but I haven't been very involved in a lot of the trail part.
Do you have an ice cream shop?
We have a wonderful ice cream shop. It's called Sweet Treats. They are open daily 6 to 9.
I'll bet there's some people who come from the lake to get ice cream.
They do. And actually, they have been featured in the Des Moines Register, and we've had Ragbri come through here a few years ago. And there's people that come all from all over the state of Iowa to come to Sweet Treats for ice cream.
If I'm anywhere around here, right, and it's anywhere close to 6, yeah. I'll stop by too. Yeah.
However attractive the amenities are, any town needs some industries. So here is what Melissa told us about that.
We are getting a new bank coming in, which will make two banks here in town. They're going to put a brand new building on the corners of Highway 69 and 175. So that'll change the look of Jewel as you're coming into town from Ellsworth. We've had Concrete Inc. here in town for many years, and they are doing a huge renovation, or expansion, I should say. I think they're going to triple their output here. And then we have Heartland Co-op is here. They have a big facility here as well. We have ethanol plant called Poet, and it is just north of town from us. And it's been running for maybe 6-8 years now.
Besides the pharmacy and bank, what are some of the other little shops?
Sure. We've got Farm Store, which always has everything you need. Anything you think, oh, they probably won't have it, they have it. We have a bowling alley. We have a photographer. We have Gravy Home Goods, which is, you know, refurbished, and she's very successful, has a great following. We have a quilt store here in town, So Be It. Our pharmacy also sells gifts, so that's always nice. We have, plus all your regular amenities, your lawyer, your post office, hair shops, all that fun stuff.
A new volunteer at KHOI told me we should talk to Marlene Austin for a more personal description of why she and her family chose to move to Jewel from Ames. You said that you came from Ames because you liked the amenities in Jewel. What did you mean?
Well, when we moved to Jewel, we had 4 kids, 2 cats, and 2 dogs, and we're in a very small house out in West Ames. So we needed a bigger house. And we also wanted something that everything was local and easy for our kids to get back and forth to and from, like school and the pool and the library and the grocery store. And so here was perfect. We were about 2 or 3 blocks from everything and when we bought this house. And it has been a perfect setup to raise a family. Most of our kids were pretty little when we moved here. Our oldest was 6th grader and our youngest was 3. So they've pretty much grown up in Jewel. And there's lots of things. The doctor's office. We started coming to the doctor's office after we'd lived here a couple years. We had to kind of adjust to changing from Ames to Jewel. But once we did, we very much have enjoyed having all of our things right here that's easy for us to access and our kids to be a part of and all the community activities to be a part of.
And you mentioned that you used to camp at Little Ball Lake. Do you go out there at all for swimming or boating or fishing or anything?
Yes, we actually do go out there and do swimming and just walks along the lake and sit out and enjoy a pretty night. We don't camp there as much as we used to. Once in a while we do, but with being so close to home, we find that we end up just coming home for things and not actually enjoying the camping experience. And our kids now, our teenagers, like to go there and kayak with friends and canoe. They also do some canoeing too.
Your husband's got a construction business, is that right?
That's correct. When we moved here, he was working for a farmer full-time, and after a couple years of living here, he decided he wanted to start his own. He had been worked for a contractor in Ames before the farming job, and he decided he wanted to go back to that and do it on his own. So he started his own business here in Jewel in 2007, the fall, I believe, of 2007, thinking he would probably end up having to drive a lot back and forth to Ames for business, but as it turns out, almost all of his clients are up in this area, in the Jewel, Randall, Stanhope, and Ellsworth area. So it's really been a good opportunity for him to develop a business as a contractor in this area.
Do you work outside the home?
Yes, I work at the school. I used to help with the preschool in town when my youngest started school. Then I started subbing at the elementary for associates, working one-on-one with special needs children. Then they started asking me to help at the high school, so I started that. And just 2 years ago, this was my second year helping as a one-on-one with a visually impaired student, and I've thoroughly enjoyed that, and that I will continue to do till she graduates from the high school.
You mean until the visually impaired student graduates? But you also have a child of your own who's in the high school.
Yes, he will graduate the year before the student does that I'm helping. So I will be here through her also. But yes, my youngest is a sophomore this fall. So we've had three graduate from South Hamilton and one left to finish.
And do you have anything special to say about the schools?
The schools, we have nothing negative to say about the schools. We've had all positive experiences with teachers, with staff, with administration. Anytime we've had a problem or concern, they've been right away ready to talk with us about it and get it figured out. Every one of our kids have had good, positive experiences at both the elementary and the high school. And as a employee at the high school, I get to see firsthand what all happens in the classroom and in the school, and it's been a very positive. I really have nothing negative I can say about South Hamilton. It's a very good school with very good people working in it.
Gina, do you have any questions?
What are some of the differences you find here between here names?
Probably the biggest difference is you don't feel like you're a number. Everyone knows you. Everyone knows your children. So you feel like as a community, everyone's looking out for you and your children. I grew up in Ames. I love Ames. I go there a lot for things I can't get here. I go there. But for the most part, most of what we need is here. And I felt like my kids had a lot more opportunities. They didn't have as many kids competing for, say, a part in the play, you know, and a spot on the team. You know, there was more, they had more they could do and choose from. They weren't as limited as maybe in Ames, where there's a lot more kids competing for those positions and activities. I like that small town atmosphere where my kids feel like they can try whatever and try something new the next week. And they've done 4-H and FFA, besides Boy Scouts, and we did American Heritage Girls for a while. My girls did. And we've just had lots of good experiences and lots of opportunities that maybe it would have been a little more limited in Ames. There's a lot of things going on in Ames, but I think there's more competition for those things,
right,
and getting a spot on the team and that kind of stuff. So I like the fact that here my kids have more of a chance, I guess, of being a part of anything they want to do.
What do you see yourself doing after your kids graduate high school? You said you're not going to be at the school.
That's a good question. I could, you know, who knows what, I'm open to anything that comes along. If there's something else the school has a need for, I could see myself doing that. I could even see myself going back to subbing possibly if that's what they have a need for. I've also thought about I'm learning Braille as I'm working with this visually impaired student. So I could see myself maybe working for the Department of the Blind and doing something more with that after she graduates.
Are there many options of things you can do right here in Jewell?
Actually, I've been asked before if I wanted to work at the bank, to apply at the bank. I didn't because I wanted to work with kids, but I would say there's been several opportunities, even for such a small town with not a lot of companies, say, here. But there's actually been a lot of opportunities for someone that's just looking for something part-time. I know I have friends that work at the grocery store and the bank and the hardware store. There's always something part-time and full-time, but definitely the schools are always looking for people that are willing to work with kids and one-on-one, whether it be an associate or... I have my degree in marketing, so that didn't really help me as far as being able to be a teacher in the school. But I was able to use that to do other things to help at the school with students and tutoring and helping them learn from what I knew from my experience in high school and college.
Would you ever think of getting involved with Jade and using your marketing degree?
I have not thought about that, but I could see that being something I would be willing to do. I kind of put that on the shelf after I graduated 7 months pregnant with our oldest, and I decided shortly after that I really wanted to stay home and take care of my kids, and I've loved being a stay-at-home mom. I would not trade that for the world. But I could see using that now as my kids have gotten older and my youngest graduates, I could see doing something like that with with Jade, and I know several of the people that are involved in that. So I could definitely see. And my husband and I are both, we both enjoy volunteering and helping out. We did Jewel Jubilee this year, helped with that. I was on the Elementary Booster Club for about 7-8 years and loved putting on the school carnival and doing those kind of things. We both enjoy fundraising and helping our community and the children in our community.
Being in the construction world a little bit, do you see many new houses coming up, building in Jewel area?
There's been a few. I know development over by the high school has grown. My husband mainly does, like, additions and remodels, and there's definitely been a need for that in this area. But, yeah, I see, when we first moved here, houses didn't sell very well. That would have been about 13 years ago. But I can see, as we have lived here, there's been more and more of a market for that, and people are able to sell their houses. And there's been a lot of young families that have come to Jewel, and we've loved seeing that. And you can see that definitely in the schools, too.
Right, I'm sure that makes a big difference.
Yes, it does. And so this community is definitely growing, and I think there's a lot to offer to a new family, as well as older people, too, but definitely to the new families that come in.
This is KHOI Community Radio, and we've just heard from Marlene Austin about the quality of life for her family in Jewel. Your host for the road trip, Gina McAndrews, and I, Susan Franzen, have had a great afternoon in Jewel, but we've stayed longer than we expected, and Gina has to get home to pick up her horse from the vet. So it's time to turn south to the Lincoln Highway and hear from Jan Gammon of Prairie Rivers Resource Conservation and Development to tell us about Lincoln Highway Heritage Byway.
I'm with the Lincoln Highway Heritage Byway and associated with the Lincoln Highway Association. They're having their 25th annual conference in Denison, Iowa. It was the Lincoln Highway was started back in 1913 when the Lincoln Highway was first put in across the United States. And then they disbanded once it was paved, named, marked with concrete posts. And then a group reformed it in 1992 in Ogden, Iowa. So they're celebrating their 25th year now in Denison. The first day will be registration with on-your-own tours going to the Manning House Barn, Templeton Rye, or golfing at the Majestic Hills there in Denison with an opening banquet that night. The next day will be a bus tour to the east with Eureka Bridge in Greene County, going to Jefferson, and then going to Ogden, where the association was reformed. Then a bus tour to the west the next day. They'll see the Lust Hills, go into Council Bluffs, and then on to Elkhorn, Nebraska. On Friday, the speaker day will be topics about travels on the Lincoln Highway, food along the byway, and books written about Iowa and traveling. And also I'll give a presentation about the byway that I'm associated with through the Department of Transportation. On that evening will be an awards banquet at Kronk's Restaurant, and then the annual meeting will be the next morning at Kronk's.
So what are your responsibilities for keeping up the byway, or is that done by the Department of Transportation?
Well, the Department of Transportation outsources the management of the byway to the RC&Ds in Iowa. So I manage the Lincoln Highway Heritage Byway that goes from Clinton along the Mississippi to Council Bluffs at the Missouri River. So there's 43 communities through there, 13 counties. So a byway is made up of 6 intrinsic qualities: archaeological, cultural, historic, natural, recreational, and scenic. And we take all of those qualities into consideration to help with economic development, tourism, and community projects. So there's a lot to wrap your head around.
And I believe you said the only Lincoln Highway Days celebration in a town is in Nevada.
Correct. And that happens to be where I live, yes.
Well, I had a question when you explained why the original Lincoln Highway Association disbanded. You said it was paved. Well, I happen to know there's a little stretch that is not paved, because when I went over to Boone on the Lincoln Highway and I got
to County Line Road. And
yes, there are some sections that are still gravel. I guess I should have said improved road. So some of it would have been more than a dirt road, because when they first laid out the Lincoln Highway, they used existing roads, dirt roads, wagon trails across the nation to try to make it one continuous road from starts in Times Square and it goes all the way to San Francisco.
I'm also curious about the traffic, the people who travel the Lincoln Highway, I guess every year, some of them. But, of course, during the centennial year, there were lots of people who came across the Lincoln Highway. But do you have people every year who travel the whole thing just to do the Lincoln Highway?
Yes, we have several auto tours that start at one end or the other. Since the original Lincoln Highway was formed in 1913 with all these wagon trails, dirt roads, existing roads, and it was quite a feat and quite an honor to be named to be on the Lincoln Highway.
I also wondered if there were people who still travel that as tourists, just
right.
to do the Lincoln
Highway. We have several auto tours that come through. Since it was formed in 1913, there's a lot of 100-year celebrations that have occurred. Like it was the first woman who traveled by herself, Anita King. And she was a Hollywood actress, so she started from San Francisco and went to New York. There were three Van Buren sisters that rode motorcycles across the United States, and the first female motorcyclist. So there's a lot of firsts that were happening. But they started out in New York and went to San Francisco that way. So there was a celebration last year to celebrate their travels.
And what is the archaeology that you find along the Lincoln Highway?
There are some sites, mostly next to rivers, as the early inhabitants of the Iowa traveled and lived along the rivers. So as flooding or other changes to the banks happen, then more is exposed, and we're finding more stuff every day.
But you don't run into, say, Native American burial grounds, things like that, mounds?
No, there are some mounds over in southwest Iowa that are close to the Lincoln Highway, since it takes a little turn and goes down into Council Bluffs. But most of the archaeological things that are actually found by the DOT as they do road construction.
Do you have any idea what the economic benefits to the towns along the route are now?
Well, originally, it helped bring gas stations, repair shops, motels, restaurants, and tourist camps to the area. So we're hoping that we have an idea to electrify the Lincoln Highway and put in electric charging stations. So we're hoping that this will bring that kind of fever back to the Lincoln Highway.
So a real 21st century
Correct.
Adaptation. How much of it's classified as scenic byway?
Well, every byway in Iowa is a scenic byway, but we're the only heritage byway, and that's because our cultural and historic quality, our highest quality. And there are scenic spots. Some people think Iowa isn't very scenic, but near Tama, there's what they call the Bohemian Alps, where the Lincoln Highway actually skirted around those through the Iowa River Valley. And then in the 50s or 60s, the DOT changed the route and actually went up and over those hills. So some of those high points, you can really look down on the Iowa River Valley, and it's pretty beautiful.
Well, even the ones within our listening area, when I mm-hmm. drove over to Colo on Old 30.
Right.
And it was Old 30, but it is also the Lincoln Highway. And the little section that is south of New 30 going to Boone mm-hmm. is also very rolling, very pretty.
Right.
And
usually associated with a river. But going to Colo, you go under the railroad and over the railroad. So there's two sweeping views that you can see.
And rolling. I couldn't help
yes.
thinking when I drove to Boone, coming from the west, leaving the New 30 and going the other route, how glad I was that I didn't have to drive it in the winter.
Right.
Because it's would be a pretty treacherous road.
Yeah, some of the early motorists found challenges if a hill was too steep, they might have to go up it backwards because there wasn't the fuel wasn't flowing to the engine, so they had to go up backwards.
Well, to get back to the conference that's coming up, is your registration still open?
Yes, it's open until the opening day. You can still register at Denison. It's open to anybody that's interested in the Lincoln Highway or old cars, just a love of Iowa.
And how do you find out about it?
You can either go to the Iowa Lincoln Highway site, which is www.iowalincolnhighway.org, or you can go to the National Lincoln Highway Association at www.lincolnhighwayassoc.org and find a registration form.
So our listeners now know about that, and thank you very much for coming in. We've been talking with Jan Gammon. This is Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio, where we explore the people, stories, and events in Central Iowa. We've been talking about stories from Jewel and an event featuring the Lincoln Highway. For a change of pace, we're turning to a songwriter from Roland, who left a long time ago. The songs we'll play are glimpses of his story, but I'll fill in a little narrative between them. I met him on a family road trip to Tucson, Arizona, where we went to visit our son and his family. I had read a feature on DeLon Thompson in the Story City Herald just as we were leaving, so I looked him up. The first song I'll play, When I Come of Age, probably expresses the feeling of a lot of kids growing up in small towns, no matter how idyllic.
Years back, I was born in this town. As I grew up, I started looking around. I just knew I had to get away from here. There's so much stuff going on out there. Oh, when I come of age and I start to fly, I'm gonna knock around this world until I die. In the summertime when I was a kid, I played a lot of baseball, that's what I did. I wasn't old enough to work very much, hanging at the station drinking Pepsi and nuts. Oh, when I come of age and I start to fly, I'm gonna knock around this world until I die. There's a lot to be said for towns this small, but I had to answer my internal call. So many things to see across this nation. I want my life to be a celebration of all those things that I plan to do. Oh, when I come of age, it will see me through. Through high school and college, I was biding my time, following rules and trying to toe their lines, but working real hard to get that college degree, when all I ever wanted was just to be free. Oh, when I come of age and I start to fly, I'm gonna knock around this world until I die. Out on my own, yes, I still have some questions, looking for answers and finding connection with people I've seen and places I've been. Sometime I'm gonna go back there again. It all started out in my hometown. Thank God they put me on solid ground. There's a lot to be said for towns this small, but I had to answer my internal call. So many things to see across this nation. I want my life to be a celebration of all those things that I plan to do. But when I come of age, it will see me through. It all started out in my hometown. Thank God they put me on solid ground. Sometime I'm gonna go back there again. Sometime I'm gonna go back there again. Sometime I'm gonna go back there again.
His first dream was to become a professional baseball player, but he quickly learned that he couldn't support his wife and baby on the salary he earned on a farm team. He served as a traveling evangelist for a few years before he met some Nashville greats who encouraged him to sing his own songs. On his way to Nashville, he wrote this ballad. It sounds autobiographical, but it wasn't.
hills of Carolina. I was headed for Nashville, USA. But along the way I passed through old Kentucky. And now I know I've found a better way. Well, I'm a picker and I can play the banjo. And of all the rest, I'm the best that I know. Yes, my folk around here tell me that I should go to the city to make a name on the radio. Well, I guess I'm just a crazy country boy. And at last I found my lifelong joy. But when I passed through old Kentucky on that day, and I met a little girl named Darla Mae. Many years have passed and folks around here know I passed up the chance to play on the radio. Yes, I may have lost a fortune and some fame, but I've still got my Darla, she wears my name. Well, we've had some kids and all are grown but one. He's a banjo-playing, picking son of a gun. He's already asking to go to play on the radio. Someday I hope he'll say, Dad, I found a better way. Well, I guess I'm just a crazy country boy. And at last I found my lifelong joy. For when I passed through old Kentucky on that day, and I met a little girl named Darla Mae. And I met a little girl named Darla Mae.
When he got to Nashville, he found that song didn't go over very well. He was in for a big letdown.
Well, I strolled into Nashville, I'm gonna make my song a hit. I walked up and down a music row, a record label said, now get. Here's what makes it so darn hard to trying to see the man. They're all sitting at the top and forgot just where they began. Winning means nothing unless you've had to lose. The record labels tell you to get and now you have to choose. To turn your tail and head for home or choose to go it alone. So pull out your credit card and make yourself a loan. Now everyone who's working there are just trying to do their bit. You sing a song and tell your story, then they say, now get. Here's what makes it so darn hard, trying to crack this town. Songs are a dime a dozen, without that special sound. The record labels are going for a certain pop rock sound. The A&R man says, now get, we don't want old Nashville around. I came into Nashville, it's my second time around. I've got a song, it's gonna be a hit and it's waiting just to be found.
nothing unless you've had to lose. The record labels tell you to get, and now you have to choose to turn your tail and head for home, or choose to go it alone. So pull out your credit card and make yourself a loan.
After he left Nashville, he discovered two audiences he hadn't expected. International listeners who liked his ballads. Crazy Country Boy made number one on the international charts. When he moved to Tucson in his 60s, he found that he was popular with senior citizen snowbirds in resorts in Arizona. He even met some old classmates. At 72... DeLon has a successful recording career. He has released 7 CDs, and he plays baseball with the Tucson senior team 3 times a week. The last song he'll sing is not original with him, but most of our listeners will recognize it.
Take me out to the ball game. Take me out to the park. Buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jacks. I don't care if I ever get back. So it's root for the home team. If they don't win, it's a shame. For it's 1-2 3 trace strikes, you're out at the old ball game.
That was DeLon Thompson, traditional country singer. You've been listening to Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio. Your host for today has been Susan Franzen with Gina McAndrews, who joined me in the road trip to Jewel, where we heard from Dick Steffen, Melissa Rothler, Marlene Austin, and Jan Gammon. Local Talk airs at 7 a.m., noon, and 7 p.m. here on KHOI at 89.1 FM. Also, remember that you can hear it online at khoifm.org and find links to the guests and information you heard during the program. KHOI is streaming live online at khoifm.org. Our theme song, as always, is Backtrackin' by Tom Richards and Al Harris from their CD, The Ballad of Kate Shelley. Songs you heard were by DeLon Thompson, When I Come of Age, and Git from the CD Git, and Crazy Country Boy from the CD Traditional Country, and Take Me Out to the Ball Game from the CD Just for You. Local Talk is a radio production workshop as well as a show. So if you would like to try your hand at reporting, we'll train you. Come and join the Local Talk team. We've made a change in our morning schedule. Until now, Democracy Now! Was aired on KHOI only at 6 p.m. weekday evenings. We are now airing it also from 8 to 9 a.m., Morning Masterpieces will return at 9 a.m. We have made this change in light of the rapidly changing events in the national news. We want to provide you with the latest news in the most timely fashion possible. Let us know what you think. You can call us at 515-292-2878. Email us at khoiradio@gmail.com, or go to the contact page of khoifm.org. So stay tuned for Democracy Now! With headline news at the top of the hour. Remember, you, the listener, are what makes KHOI meaningful and possible. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you again on the radio.